Hey, it's Elle.
And M.
And you're listening to the Baby Project Podcast.
In this podcast, we will discuss our journeys as well as other warriors going through the ups and downs of infertility.
There's ups?
Yes, there's ups.
Okay. As a reminder, be kind to yourself and skip as needed. We know some topics may be triggering. Let's get talking.
This is episode 22, M's update. M being me.
Welcome, M. Thanks, M.
Holy, it feels like it's been forever since we spoke to each other.
I know.
Since we did an episode together.
We're back, bitches. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of interviews instead of one-on-one chats, me and you.
So it's definitely time for an update, and we can provide you what we've been doing on our baby projects, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a busy few months. We had a lot going on.
Yeah. I'd say. So today, though, I will be updating everyone on how my summer and fall has been and where I last left off my story. And then in future episodes, we have a lot more content and even Elle's episode, mm-hmm. Part 3. So I don't remember where I left off. I think it was just a break, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you had did your transfer. Mm-hmm. It wasn't successful.
Yeah.
And then you were going to, you were going to take a break, do some testing. And reconvene.
Yes. Okay.
Enjoy the summer. You were moving.
Yes.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, we took a break. My husband took me out of town on Canada Day and just really said, okay, this summer we're going to focus on us. We're going to focus on the move because we had sold our place and we needed to move out of our town into my parents' place. And then from my parents' place into our new place because the closing dates didn't align for us, which we didn't mind because I was at home. I was around my mom and my dad and my brother. My mom was making homemade Vietnamese food like every day. Mm. And it was, you know, I didn't have to worry about that. I was working with my brother at home. So like we were like having meetings across the table from each other, which was great too. And really enjoying that time, enjoying the summer, going out because it was warmer. And a lot of the COVID restrictions were being lifted too, so we can go outside and eat. And it was actually stressful at some times with the move. When we moved from my parents' place into our new place, there was shit all over the place that the previous owners had left.
Yeah.
And it was like left in horrible condition. So I'm sure if I was to do a transfer during that time, I'd be really stressed out, which wouldn't have been good either. And then on top of all that, Elle and I were really busy during the summer doing a lot of recordings with guests for our podcast. So with all the episode interviews with guests that we had, it was a good distraction because I felt like I was getting good advice. And I could prepare for my upcoming transfer. I was making a list of like, okay, she said this, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. So I had, I had a lot of positivity and also visualization. So when people were talking about their positives, if you heard from previous episodes, I was like, tell me how it felt. Like I wanted to visualize that too. I wanted to see that. I want to put that out to the universe as well. So then that took like a lot of the summer and even into the mm-hmm. fall. But around the end of August, I think in the beginning of September, my husband and I were just talking about whether we should start talking to the doctor and start preparing for another transfer, what other things we should do. Should we wait a little bit longer? Is our mental state good enough? And we were doing some laundry while we were when we were talking about this. They had curtains in our previous home, so we took them all down. They were really big. It didn't really fit into our current laundry, so we went to the laundromat and we started washing them. And we put them in bags. We came home and then we kind of hang dried them. And it was funny because when we had unpacked the bags and started to hang the the curtains, a small little sock fell out of the bag. I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this. It's so adorable. And then all I could hear is like one of our guest episodes with Noelle. She's all about signs. Like, this is a sign. This is a sign. So I thought about that, but my husband immediately, like, it's a sign. It's a sign that like we should start the conversation. It's a sign that like we're ready. The sign like a baby's coming our way. Like, okay, okay. So in September, I then called our doctor, and she did the appointment over the phone with me. And my husband was busy at the time, but she reviewed the chart and she was like, you know what? Okay, let's review it again. Let's start from scratch. Your Sona was good. Your blood work was good. Check, check, check. But you know what? Let's do some further immune testing. Let's do some genetic testing, and let's do an ERA. And for those who don't know what an ERA is, it's like a diagnostic procedure that helps you determine if your lining is ready for embryo transfer or embryo implantation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shows you if you're receptive or non-receptive, and then how far outside of that window, that receptive window, you are. And I think it also measures if you have the appropriate amount of hormones at that time as well.
Yeah. And when I was talking to Al about it, she had done this too, and she had told me to mention it to my physician, which I did, and she had brought it up anyway. So it worked out really well that it was a part of what I was thinking, my plan, and she had already brought that up. So she explained that the immunotesting is a blood test. Get that done ASAP. It takes a few weeks for the results to come. And that's about $225. Oh, and the genetic testing, you know, it's blood work as well. Do it at the same time. It's $150. And the ERA, you know, it's going to be about $1,200. And it's going to be, you know, involving mimicking your cycle as you would do for a transfer. But instead of on the transfer day, they're going to take a small biopsy of your lining of your uterus for molecular analysis. And then like Al said, to see if like the transfer at the time of transfer, is your lining receptive and, you know, theoretically would it implant? So I got off the phone, go tell my husband. And all I saw were like dollar signs. He's like, oh, what, $150, $225, $1,200? Like, what the heck? I'm like, I know. So then I remember shortly after the conversation with him, he's like, you know what? We'll do it if you want, like, or should we like stagger them? Like, I don't know. I'll just go to who I know best, like wouldn't know these answers. And I went to Al. So
poor you. It's like going to the vet. I know you don't have any pets, but it's literally like when you go to the veterinarian with your animal, if something's wrong with your animal, because they're like, we can do this blood panel and it's, $500, or, you know, we can do this smaller level blood panel, which is only 250. But then if something's wrong there, then we can, you know, bump up to the more expensive one, or if you want to do an ultrasound, it's this much money. Oh, and you like constantly have dollar signs behind all of your tests and procedures and everything at the vet, right?
Yeah.
Because I just went to the vet with my dog not too long ago, and it was like, cha-ching, ching, ching, every 5 seconds that she's talking, my bill's getting longer and longer.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so when you were explaining that, it much sounds like when you go to the vet's office, you can do this, this, and this for this low price.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he was saying like, maybe we do a few, and then if it doesn't work, then we do the ERA, because that's how he was thinking. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to Al. She's done it before, and let's see what she suggests. So I talked to you.
What did Al say? I'm curious.
You get good advice. You always give good advice. So you're like, just do it all. Do it all, because if you do a little bit now, and then let's say, you know, first of all, you only have 2 embryos left, is what you had reminded me. And just do all the testing out now, and then, you know, throw everything at it. And then rather than do a little bit and then then maybe have to go do another whole IVF non-funded cycle, is what you had advised me. So I'm like, that's true. I mean, we're already dishing out the money. Just dish it all out, get our answers, and hopefully we'll have 2 successful transfers versus non-successful, then try another one and it might not be successful. So
yeah.
So that's the advice I took.
That's good advice.
Who's this owl person, right? So in September, like right after that phone call, actually, I went for the blood work that weekend. And then shortly after day one, messaged the nurse, you know, the usual, saw the doctor to start the mock cycle, right? So my doctor was away and I saw another physician and she, you know, pulled me into the room, had my chart out. She's like, okay, what are we here for? I'm like, okay, so I talked to my doctor and we're going to do a mock cycle for her ERA. She's like, oh, okay, well, last time, you know, you tried the estrogen patches, you got a really good lining number. It was like 13. We'll do the same. And I know I was talking to Al about it. And I said, maybe we can try the pills because it's covered under the insurance. She's like, no, the patches worked well. Stick to the patches and come back in a week and we'll see how your lining is. And it was like in and out. I'm like, okay, at least I got something started. Estrogen patches did work last time, like very well, very well. So we'll keep the same protocol. I came back the following week. Again, my doctor wasn't there. It was another doctor covering. And I just sat down in the seat. As I was slowly unzipping my jacket, the doctor comes in. Man, he's like, oh, so, okay, what are you here? I'm like, so we're going to do an ERA testing. I already started my estrogen patches. So I just need to know of my linings well, and then we can get started for, you know, the biopsy. I'm still unzipping my jacket very slowly. He's like, oh, I don't believe in ERAs. You're going to have to talk to the nurse who works with your doctor to figure out that. And then he just left. Mm-hmm. I didn't even unzip my jacket yet. He just doesn't believe in ERAs. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? Yeah. What the fuck? Like,
thanks for nothing.
You don't believe in ERAs? So does that mean like my doctor's making up bullshit? Or you don't believe in ERAs because they're not accurate? Am I wasting money?
Yeah.
Like all these questions. And like he just walked out. So I'm like, okay, do I go see a nurse now? Like, so I sat in the waiting room and I'm feeling so overwhelmed, confused, frustrated. My husband's not in the waiting room because still they didn't allow for overcrowded waiting rooms yet and because of COVID. So I'm just sitting there waiting, confused. And then the nurse calls me after I felt like a long time waiting. And she's like, you know, I spoke to your doctor. I called her even though she's away and she has this protocol for you. So we'll start that. I'm like, okay. I felt a little bit of relief. I'm like, okay, my doctor does care. Mm-hmm. So she wrote the instruction sheet out for me. Progesterone in oil for 6 days. And then a nurse will call you the day before X day for the ERA, which is a day where you would actually get your transfer done, right? But rather than coming in, you rather than a transfer, it would be a biopsy. So I waited for the phone call and the nurse had called me and she's like, okay, you're going to do your ERA test tomorrow and it's going to be for 11 o'clock. And that's all she said. I'm like, okay. So here I'm thinking like, okay, it's a transfer. So do I have my bladder semi-full or not full? Like, well, I'll just keep it semi-full because I'll keep it like as if it's a real transfer. So she didn't even say any of that. She just said the time and I just had assumed that, right? Luckily for me, and I say lucky and you'll find out why. So my husband was able to drive me downtown for this test. He had to have antibiotics IV at the hospital close by. So he went and had his IV antibiotic. I went with him. And then when it was closer to my time, I walked to the clinic and he finished up there. And I checked in with the nurse and she went over the procedure with me. Okay, it's a biopsy, which I already knew. And you can't drive after this because we're going to put you under light sedation. And that's when it's lucky because my husband was able to drive me and he went with me. Usually I've been going to all these appointments by myself. So if he wasn't able to take me, I don't know what I would have done. Like, he probably would have had to drive all the way from where we live, which is like now an hour and 15.
Yeah.
To downtown. So I'm like thinking, okay, is this going to be like an egg retrieval all over again? I'm going to be like drugged out of my head. Like so I already felt like nervous about that. Got into the room, put the gas on me, completely knocked out. Then I woke up, brought me to the exam or my little room where I changed. And then my doctor runs in. She's like, when's the last time you had your progesterone oil injection? I said, oh, yesterday at 10:30. She's like, yesterday? You should have had it this morning. I'm like, well, on the sheet, it says for 6 days. She's like, you should have had it done this morning, early in the morning, is what I've been telling you. I'm like, again, I'm thinking like, what the fuck? Sorry, like, what the fuck? No one told me. Like, I follow instructions. You tell me to eat it. I will follow it to the T, but no one told me that. No one explained shit all to me. So I just felt like it was being pushed all over. So I was annoyed, so super annoyed. And both my husband and I were so super annoyed driving home. We were already stressed with, like, he had an infection. So he had like, this antibiotic antibiotic IV. And then with this whole ERA thing. And then, like, did we mess up and, like, just pretty much waste $1,200 on this test and it's not going to be accurate? So that was a ride.
Yeah.
And then it takes weeks for the results. And then the instructions is when you have your next cycle on your day one, message the nurse. So October arrives now. And day one, message the nurse, okay, come in. Day two, the usual thing, blood work, ultrasound. And then the doctor reviews all the results with me. So genetic testing came back with 2 gene variants with abnormal results. So whatever it is, women with this mutation have a slightly increased risk for repeated miscarriages and implantation failure. Great, right? And then, okay, how do we fix this? This is my immediate thing. She's like, okay, Fragmin will help. We'll increase the dose. Then she's like, immunotesting came back. It was normal. Like, okay, that's good. The ERA came back and it was receptive. So it's good timing and it's good. There's no evidence of endometriosis. You know, your test did come back. They recommend some vaginal probiotic suppositories. I'm like, great, sure. You know what? We'll throw that in too. Like,
shove it all up there.
Shove it all anywhere through the mouth, through the ass, through whatever. I will do it. Just. And then she's like, oh, and you had some elevated ANA autoimmune, which we already knew. That's why we give you like prednisone after all your transfers, and you have like a rheumatoid factor, which is typically found in lupus, but you don't have lupus. You just have like these elevated values, but this intralipid infusion will help with this autoimmune condition. Oh, and that's $300 for the infusion a week before your transfer. And if you're successful, we'll continue that, you know, infusion after. I'm like, okay, fine. Like, this is great. We have a plan. We have boxes. Okay, there's a situation fixed. There's this situation, it's fixed. Everything is like fixed. It's gonna be fixed. It's gonna be good. And she's like, come back in next week for a lining check. I'm like, okay. It decreased from, did my lining check. It decreased from 13 to 8, which is, wasn't too bad. It just decreased. So she's like, we're not going to proceed with the transfer this month. And I'm thinking, oh, is it because of the lining? She's like, no, because further tests came back and you have chronic endometriitis, which is really a fancy way of saying chronic inflammation of my lining. So I'm like, oh, like a light bulb moment. That's why it hasn't been implanting, because my lining is all inflamed. So, okay, what do we do? Okay, we're going to treat this with heavy antibiotics for 2 weeks. Then you're going to start your patches until this day, and then we'll get you on this Provera to start your period on this day. I'm like, okay, this is good. Like, oh my gosh, this whole time is because of this. Okay, I'm going to treat it. It's not going to be like inflamed anymore. It's going to be nice and good for this next transfer. So,
You know what's funny? Like, your ERA told you so much.
$1,200 better fucking should.
You know what I got?
What?
Nothing. I got none of that shit.
No.
When I did my ERA, all I got was that I was 12 hours outside of the receptive window. That, and I got the report back from the company that they send the result, the biopsy off to.
Yeah.
That was it. I never got any of the other shit that you got.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
So you're so lucky that you got all this other information, extra info. Sorry.
Thanks, because sometimes I feel like I'm not getting a lot of answers, but yeah. When I hear this, I'm like, okay, this means they're doing something.
Something's happening. Yeah. And then think of, like, if you didn't do it, you wouldn't know all of this stuff.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah. And then I was trying to look at, like, how the heck did I get this chondroendometriitis thing? And then it's like, syphilis, da, da, da. I'm like, well, I know that's not happening.
Yeah.
So it could be from, like, a previous, like, time that they went up there. And the only time I think of is, like, the egg retrieval since then.
Yeah.
Because unless all the transfers, I don't know. So that's, I think that's you and I were bouncing ideas of how that could be. And that was one of our conclusions. Yeah. So then October was completely, like, just treatment, which I was okay with. I'm like, okay, we have an answer. I'm going to treat it. And then November, it's going to be good because everything is good, right? So November now comes, day one. Message them, come in day two, ultrasound good. Okay. Doctor was like, you know what? Your lining is good. We'll check it again next week. And if next week your lining is good, we're going to start your intralipid infusion. And then we'll do the transfer 7 days after. I'm like, okay, great. Some things I wanted to say. When I was mentioning, I was starting some things that I learned from our guests. So one of our guests has said, yeah, have you tried, like, gluten-free, dairy-free? I'm like, yeah, you know what? No, like, I haven't. But then I started to during the summer. Gluten-free, dairy-free, to help with the autoimmune part and to decrease the inflammation. And then a lot of our guests talked about acupuncture. And even Al had tried acupuncture. Still have some fears of acupuncture, but hey, tried that too. So in November, I started the acupuncture weeks before the transfer. I did my mom decided to talk to some of her friends just about general things that they tried Chinese medicine wise or whatever. So she's like, there's this foot soak. So just soak your feet in this every night, boil water, da, da, da. I'm like, sure, why not? We don't have anything to lose. We're going to throw everything at this transfer. So soaking my feet, keeping my feet warm. I hate wearing socks to bed, but I'll wear them to bed. That's fine.
Warm feet, warm uterus, warm feet, warm uterus.
Right.
Okay. But tell me about the foot soak. Was it a funny color? Did it smell bad?
So it was like a giant tea bag. If you think about a tea bag, is like a giant form of it. Like, think of, like, tons of tea bags in it, and you put it in, like, rather than a cup of water, it's like a pot of water. And then you boil it and it comes out like a dark tea color. And then you let it cool a little bit, and then you put it in a larger container and just soak your feet in it for about 10 to 15 minutes. It didn't smell or anything. It was just a pain that you had to do it every night.
Like, boil the water and
do it all. Yeah.
Steep the foot tea.
And let it cool. Often I was so like, oh, hurry up already. Put my feet in and almost burn it because it's so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. But it was nice. Thanks. Because my husband always prepared it for me. He's like, okay, I think I've done it. So it was him and his little, like, wobbly steps, you know.
With the foot basin. Here you go, hon.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, prepared myself as much as I could. And, like, some of the guests were saying, you know, exercise, like meditation. I didn't try any of that, but I tried to be in a most relaxed state as I possibly could and not let, like, little things bother me so much. So a week after, did the lining check. Okay, it's like a 10. It's good. We'll start the protocol. Do your progesterone oil. We're going to do everything the same like last time, because last time it was very receptive to whatever we did. I'm like, okay. She's like, this time though, we're going to do like the prednisone after, which we've already done. We're going to increase your Fragmin, which is the blood thinner medication, to double the amount. And then I was just thinking, can my husband join this time for the transfer? She's like, yeah, we like lifted that restriction since August, so he can join too. Like, yes, okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is aligning, finally.
Yeah.
And then I hear Al in the background, like, when things work out, it's like all aligning, all, like, the way you want it to. I'm like, yay, my husband can come to me to the transfer too. He's never been. And she's like, okay, so you know, transfer will be next week. The nurse will call you for the time. Great. So then we got the time, 11 o'clock for whatever day was, like a Monday. And the day of transfer, we went for acupuncture first, and then we went downtown, and the appointment was at 11, like I had mentioned. We got downtown around 10:40. We couldn't find any parking. And I was trying to stay cool, but at the same time, I was really, really nervous. And we found our usual parking spot. It's like a small area in the city, and the spots are so narrow that you can only drive your car in, but you can't have, you don't have enough space to even do a U-turn. You have to literally back out onto the street.
Oh my gosh.
So we were trying to do that, and there's cars lining up behind us, not understanding that we need to get back out because there's no parking spots, and they were honking at us. So I got so irritated. So I hopped out of the car. I'm like, listen, like there's no parking. And they kept beeping. And I'm like, go, husband, like go find a parking spot. I'll just wait and find you at the clinic. So we waited, and then we eventually he came and he met up with me, and we went upstairs, and we the nurse checked us in, and then we got dressed for the transfer. So I undressed, and he had to gown up, and I look over at his neck, and he's wearing like this, like, are you wearing a pink necklace? Like, I have the pink rosary on. I have my cross on. I have my cancer angel. I have, like, this other good luck thing like my grandma gave me. I have everything. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, pink looks good on you.
Oh.
It was the rosary that you gave us for his cancer treatment.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So then we go inside, and it was such a magical moment for us, I felt, because we never had that experience where your husband can come in for the transfer with you. So it was all new to him. I'm like, look at the screen. That's where the embryo is. He's like, oh, that's our embryo. I'm like, yeah. And then the doctor verified, that's your name. And then he's like, yep, that's her name. And then this time around, we decided to still keep with the embryo glue because we don't want to not try. So that's $500.
Because if it didn't work, it would be because you didn't use the glue.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
And this time we decided throw in another $100 for this HCG that helps with like the growth and the implantation, the implanting. So threw that in first, which I thought was the embryo, but it wasn't. It was there. And then they put the embryo in. And then my husband and I saw the whole thing, and he was just like, holding my hand, he's like, this is it. Like, this is it. We got this. So it felt so good. And I just feel like those moments I don't take for granted because I never got to experience with my husband. So I tried to soak up that moment as well. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like, we did everything. We threw in this 100 here, 100 there. He's here. It's great.
Seems magical.
Right? Yeah.
In a most horrible, scientific, sterile, cold world.
Yep.
It's very magical.
I know, right? Usually it's just like, you guys are on top of each other, magical. But this is like, you are have like a thing up you and you're viewing it, magical.
Yeah, right? Look at this lovely tube I have in my cervix.
Right? And the doctor's shouting out like the size and the lining and...
Yeah.
Yeah. After the transfer, we did more acupuncture because you're supposed to do before and after transfer. We did the fries. We did the pineapple core. I did the pineapple core. I didn't tell you that, but I did.
It's delicious, isn't it?
It's so nasty.
It's something.
Did the juice, did pomegranate, everything in the book, kept my feet warm, doubled up on socks, like whatever. On the car ride home, it was funny because I was like, I'm so nervous about it. And he's like, no, I'm like confident in it because how I see it, it's like an all-star NBA team. I'm like, okay, explain to me. Like, how are you wrapping your head around this whole thing? Because he's been listening to our podcast. And he's been Googling things after our podcast to try to figure out what all this means. And sometimes when I explain, I don't really explain it as well. Anyways, so he's like, we have like an all-star NBA team. They picked the best NBA player, like LeBron James from my best sperm. And they picked the best NBA player, Kobe Bryant from your egg, from you, your best egg. And then they gave them a test, both to see if they would play good together, which is the genetic testing. And then we gave them really good basketball shoes, a uniform, a good diet, good food, good training, which in this case is your meds and your infusion and your diet and your acupuncture. And but they can only do so much because if the net is slanted, they won't score. I'm like, yeah, so my net is slanted. He's like, no, we fixed your net as much as we could so that it's straight so they could score. And he's like, don't worry, I think we're going to score, Em. Don't worry. I think we're going to score. I'm like, holy shit, that's like the best analogy ever. I'm like, how did you get so wise? He's like, it's your podcast. I'm like, oh.
Oh, I love it. That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. So I don't know
nothing about sports.
I maybe if men are listening and they can appreciate this reference. Yeah, I don't know.
But then there's a little something to be said that I don't know. Like I said, I know shit all about sports. But like you line up, you think you're standing in the right spot. You got the right fucking form and shit. You got everything. And as soon as your hand lets go of that ball,
yes,
there is a little bit of something that's that magic. That's that, you know, faith. That's God, it's whatever it is that, you know, sometimes you can't make it go in the net.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's something that just kind of puts it in the right spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can be the best players and you can throw it at all you can, but it is that little bit of that trajectory that needs to go into the net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that analogy.
Me too. So you guys can take that away and explain it to your husbands. They'll understand if they like basketball. So the next few weeks, you know, is a 2-week wait. So we took it easy. I didn't paint. I didn't heavily lift things. My in-laws were moving in at the time too. So I wanted so badly to help them move, but I didn't carry anything heavy or anything like that. And I was just waiting for beta test day.
Did your in-laws know? That you were doing a transfer?
No, we have not said anything to them at all.
They don't know about any of them?
Nothing.
Oh, jeez.
So the only thing that they know is the egg retrieval. Mm-hmm. Is when my father-in-law drove at that time because my husband couldn't. So we told him about that.
Yeah.
And then he had a conversation with my mother-in-law and just had said, and then she had asked, and we had said, this is the only method that we have. But they don't know that we've been through the transfers. We don't know about the bruises, the injections, none of that.
Yeah.
My mom knows. And I kept this transfer actually from her because I didn't want to get her hopes up or anything like that. She knew that I was doing the testing. She knew I was doing the infusion. She knew all that. And that's why she had offered also that herbal stuff as well.
Yeah.
So the 2-week wait, I know that if I were to test early and it was negative, it would ruin like the days leading up to the actual beta blood test day would feel so long and it would be torturous. So I tried as much as I could to hold off closest to that day, and taking Al's advice, like not to be blindsided for a phone call. I like that, to be prepared for negative news.
Well, that's just us.
Yeah.
Because we like to be in control of as much as humanly possible. I don't know. Like, other people wait and they get their results from nurses. But
it's hard.
I could never.
No. So I waited until day 9 and I tested.
Good for you.
And it was...
Way to be strong.
It was negative. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, it's still too early. So went out and bought more pregnancy tests, and the next day, day 10, because it was day 11 that they were going to do my beta test. So day 10 tested, it was negative. And that morning I'm like, I'm going to tell my husband. So I told him, he's like, you know what? I'm still going to have hope. You know, blood work, that's the best way. And then Al always says blood never lies. Mm-hmm. So let's just wait to when we have concrete evidence. I'm like, okay. So blood work day comes. And I forgot to say one thing. Like, I was fine with my injections. Usually the blood thinner medication stings like a mother. I was okay with it. And even like the progesterone oil with the sore backs and all that stuff, I was okay with it. But the moment, I think it's psychological, the moment when day 9 I tested, and then the next day, day 10, when like I knew it was negative and I had to do my injections, they fucking hurt. They just did. Like, it's a psychological thing or something. Like, I don't know, but it hurt. It hurt. Like, it stung more. It, like, I don't know. So day 10, like I said, I followed with my usual protocol for the injections. But then the day of testing, the day 11, where I had to do my blood work, I'm like, I pulled an L. Fuck this shit. I am not throwing another fragment in my belly. I am not opening a brand new progesterone oil vial just for one damn injection when I know for a fact, and I know for a fact, I just know it, that is negative. So I didn't do it. I did not do it, even though they tell you to wait until the, like, I didn't do it. Like,
no. Yeah. And if it was positive, like you waiting that half day, or even if you missed one day, it really wouldn't be detrimental.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It really wouldn't be that crazy.
Yeah.
But if it like it saved your mental health.
Yeah.
For that morning.
Yeah. So that morning I skipped my injections.
You're such a rebel.
I know. You're wearing off on me.
Oh no. The goody goody who follows all the rules to a T.
No.
Has been spending too much time with me.
Yeah, here I am, goody two shoes, saying fuck this
shit. And now you're rebelling against the rules.
Because no one cares, okay? And I need to care for my mental health. And if it's just one fucking injection,
yeah.
I hear your voice in my head like, fuck this shit, one day won't hurt. I'm like, that's true. Fuck this shit, one day won't hurt. So anyways, later that day, sure enough, the nurse calls me and she's like, I respected that it wasn't like a perky voice this time. And it was just like, you know, sorry to inform you, it was negative. But slowly taper off your progesterone oil. I'm like, I'm sorry. This is the first time I heard it. Usually they're like, you know, stop your medications and call back or message us on your next cycle day. She's like, slowly taper it off, you know, every other day and decrease the doses. I'm like, sure, absolutely. Hang up the phone. I'm like, nope, not today.
How about you put yourself in those shoes and see what you would do, lady?
Yeah, like, no.
I've never heard in my 7.5 years, never heard that. I don't know. No. Maybe it's a new thing. Or I have no idea.
To get your period sooner? I don't know.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Me too. Yeah. You are already feeling like shit. Why am I going to make myself feel like more shitty?
No. And all the other times that you've done it, you have had no issues with stopping abruptly.
Yeah.
No. And in the 9 transfers that I did and umpteen, you know, the ERA and the other bullshit.
Yeah.
I never tapered. Okay. I'm barren, but I'm, you know, fuck. I'm not a good example because I don't have a success story. So maybe you shouldn't listen to me.
No, I am. And then I'm like, okay, next transfer, like we're heading into December. So will I be able to do it this month? She's like, well, you know, I'll message us and we'll kind of see. And yeah. With the holidays and everything, it might be till January. So, got the news and my husband and I just kind of looked at each other and he's just like, I don't understand. Like, I thought for sure we would score. We did everything. Like,
I thought we would score. I don't need to laugh. He's right? Still in the NBA analogy.
Yeah.
How did he take it? Like, was he really upset?
He took it better. And I think it's maybe because I told him about day 10 at day 10, that negative, and it kind of prepped him a little bit. You're still upset, but not as hard as it was the last transfer. And I think it's because we had that break. Had we not had that break, I feel like this one would be so much harder because it's just one after the next, right? Mm-hmm. So then after that, we're like, let's decorate the shit out of our house for Christmas and let's get distracted. So we hung things where things shouldn't have been in. We made spots. We trees up like we wrapped all the gifts. We shopped for everyone and we wrapped all the gifts. All our gifts are wrapped. And it's like the beginning of December. Like, we're as prepared as we can be, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we even got like backup gifts too, in case people come and they weren't really invited, which we wouldn't ever think that would be the case because of COVID restrictions and shit, but if that ever happens, we're prepared. But yeah, and when we got to the stockings part, not gonna lie, it hit me pretty hard because when we were thinking about it, like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool that during like the holidays, which all of us probably have thought of, like, wouldn't it be so cool to do an announcement around Christmas with a little stocking or whatever? Yeah, that part kind of hit me like, fuck, like, I just wanted a little stocking right beside our stockings. And we never had stockings before either, or a fireplace. So this is all new to us. And we wanted to create a new tradition. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're still decorating our home. So something that's really special to us is a bell, meaning of a bell. So we've all rang a bell probably when we found our wedding dress, right? You ring the bell because you say yes to the dress. With my husband's cancer journey, ringing the bell at certain times, it symbolized the end of things. So ringing the bell at the end of his chemo or ringing the bell at the end of his radiation, mm-hmm. it was all like good things. So we came up with this little thing is like, here's our bell, ring it well when you have good news to tell.
I love that.
And then we bought a bell. I'm like, we're going to hang it here. And then when we have our close family around Christmas, we'll explain to them the bell and then we'll ring it and then we'll announce it to everyone. Yeah, that didn't happen. But it was things like what could have been. It's not now, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. You grieve, right? You grieve the whole thing. You grieve the whole process. You're so disappointed because you tried so, like, you tried so hard. You tried so many different things. You put your, you know, your best foot forward, your best Chinese herb tea washed feet.
Yeah.
You put your best foot forward.
Yep.
You tried. And I feel like Christmas is one of the hardest holidays. All holidays are hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will admit, like for myself, Halloween has, I hate Halloween. I freaking hate it. I hate it. But for some reason, it's always a very difficult holiday, I guess, because it's very, you know, kid centered.
Yes.
So I find that for myself, Halloween is hard, but Christmas has been the worst out of all of the holidays, and all of them are a little bit difficult, but it is. And, you know, the stocking thing is just, it's a real heart jerker. Let's edit that up. It's a real tear jerker, you know, just tugs at your heartstrings because you want to make that space when you have your stockings, right? You want to make that space for your third stocking, you know,
or
whatever. Instead, I have stockings for all my pets. I have 100 stockings, but they're for all four-legged things.
Yes. And my cousin works at Pottery Barn, so she gets all these wicked stockings. And she's like, do you want them? I'm like, yes, I'll take them all. So I have 6 stockings. I'm like, I'm going to have all these kids. I'm going to fill them up, or they're going to be pets or whatever. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, maybe I should use them for other things, like, I don't know. Anyways.
No, keep them. That's awesome.
But yeah, so it was another negative transfer. I just feel at this point, we're thinking we've done everything we fucking could. What else can we do? Like, what else can we do? And is there anything else we could do? So we'll meet with the doctor and see, I guess. And our mind doesn't want to go there, but it has that we're like, okay, we might need to do another IVF cycle. And this time is not going to be funded. And as you heard from previous episodes, that it's about 20,000 plus for a cycle. So, I mean, we have been saving, hoping that we wouldn't have to use it this, but the money for this. But, and then we're thinking, well, yeah, we'll need to, transfer clinics because driving up to Toronto, it's hard. And I've heard lots of success stories of clinics that are closer by that I want to research and look at. So, yeah, we've been going there. And I know we shouldn't be because we still have one more embryo, but we can't help but think that far ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to. It's that survival mode.
Yeah.
Right? You're now you have been disappointed a few times. So now you're thinking ahead more to try to protect your heart.
Yeah.
For if it doesn't work again, then it's like, okay, well, now what?
Right.
And what's your next move going to be?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that you guys are going through this.
It's okay, man.
I wish there was a magical thing that I could say or do, or, you know, all of us, we all feel that way, right? That we could just snap our fingers and make it go away.
Yeah.
And make it better, or have the, you know, secret recipe that's going to make it stick, make it work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then my husband this time around was like, fuck the embryo glue. Maybe it's the embryo glue this time that, like, the last three times it hasn't worked with it. How about we just try all natural?
Yeah. There's something to be said for trying something different.
Right?
Right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
I know that well.
Yes.
So, yeah, maybe it is time you guys shake it up a little for your last one.
Yeah. Ugh. And then I must also say and mention the months leading up to the transfer, it also has been quite difficult when it comes to some social gatherings. Mm. And when things were slowly starting to open back up, colleagues of mine wanted to celebrate certain things. And I'm like, okay, I haven't met my colleagues in a while, so let's celebrate a birthday. So we're at the dinner and right off the hop, pregnancy announcement. And that was so difficult for me to swallow because I was not expecting that so soon and just so out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the whole time, that table was full of baby talk and child talk. And what hurt even more was there was a girl that I work with. She has a few kids already. One of the kids... his names was one of the names that my husband and I wanted. So she was throwing out that name all dinner. So every time it was like, oh, this, whatever her name. It was trigger. I wanted so badly to get up and leave. I also wanted so badly to go across the table and strangle her, but that was in my head, like a friendly one, of course. So that was hard. And just like, another gathering was also coworkers, much smaller, you know, people that I work with a little bit more closely and talk a little bit more. But even then, it was my coworker's kid was 2 years old and he was screaming. And I was like, aw, like kind of thing. And then one of my coworkers like, are you sure you want to have one of these days? Again, completely unprepared. I'm like, yeah, I do actually. Yeah. Are you trying? I'm like, oh yeah, we're trying. How's that going? It's going. Like, it's just, again, I am never prepared. And I talk so much shit at our podcast that, oh yeah, I would say this, I would say that. But when I'm in this situation, I just fucking choke. I don't even know what to say.
You've never been in that situation.
It's true too.
Because of the pandemic, right?
That's true.
Pretty much all of your interactions have been extremely
distant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you haven't had the opportunity to sit and do that stupid chitty chat bullshit I hate.
Yes. Yeah.
Where you're like surface talking with people.
Yeah. And all they are talking about is their kids. Like, I'm so mortified when my kid is, we're in the restaurant and he's throwing a tantrum. I'm like, I would love to have a kid throwing a tantrum right now. Like, I just want to hold a kid. Like, you don't even understand. And of course, these ones are ones where like they cough and then boom, they're pregnant.
Yeah.
People, right?
Yeah.
And even like one of the family gatherings, you know, I was off. I've been off all summer trying to keep my composure and like trying to keep it together with the stress of the house and then this, and then she consents it. So she pulls me, she's like, are you okay?
She being my sister-in-law.
Yeah, I'm okay. She's like, no, you seem off, like something wrong. And I just break. I start crying. I'm like, no, it's not wrong. Like, I'm going with this and then the IVF. And I just kind of just divulged everything and like poured everything out. And you guys are so right. All of you are so right when you say they just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the words of comfort that they say, they mean well, but it's not the same.
It's not comforting.
And then somehow it ended up being like how her pregnancy was difficult. And like her coworker had miscarriages. So she can only imagine how hard it is. And I mean, I appreciated it, and I know she means well, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And even for my birthday, which was recently, I was making a wish. Of course, we probably all wish for the same thing. My mother-in-law looks at me. She's like, "You wished for a baby, didn't you?" And then I'm like, "How did she know?" And then I just smiled, and I'm just like, "Yep, I wish." I had three cakes, and all three cakes are homemade.
A way to make it awkward, right? Like, what did she expect you to say? Nah, not really.
Should have thrown Courtney's line. I fucking hate kids.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Sometimes people, I tell
you. I know. I didn't even know what to say. I'm like, yeah. So I feel like I felt every post that you guys have been posting on Insta and every story you guys have been explaining. I've been feeling it and experiencing, and it fucking sucks. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap for now. That's all I gotta say. That's all.
That's it. It fucking sucks.
Drop the mic. I'm done.
I think that's a great ending to a great episode of where you're at right now in your life.
Thank you.
It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you're here. It was never, that was never your plan.
No.
Your plan was never to be this far into it. You know what I mean? You already had your battle. You guys already fought your fight.
Yeah.
You know, and creating a family shouldn't be a fight for you either.
Yeah. What one thing that I didn't really mention, but I'll mention now, is like the day of transfer, my husband was trying to find parking. And he was frantic because he wanted to be as smooth as possible and as perfect as possible. He didn't tell me until after the transfer, but he was finding parking, and he was trying to find in the garage, and he kept on going up and up and up. And then it was up until the 7th floor, and there was no elevator. So he had to take the stairs. And I don't know if I've mentioned to you, but like my husband, because of the radiation and chemo, he has a lot of sensation loss in the bottom of his feet. So he progressed over the years from a wheelchair to walker to rollator to two canes and now one cane. So the one cane has been quite new. So picture him trying to find an elevator, couldn't, takes the stairs 7 flights down with very little sensation, but trying and struggling to get down as fast as he can, carrying my bags of like medication because of Fragment and his bags, and not noticing, takes a flip and falls the last step of the stairs, and you know, having to pick himself up. And it just summarizes to me that we've come so far and we fought so hard and we can't just catch a fucking break. But I love him for trying, and I love him for being there with me the whole time. And you need your support system, so find it, because you don't want to fight this by yourself, because it's really hard. But like Jenny said, and I keep on referring to, you need to stay in the arena and keep fighting. And fight and fight and fight and fight, and then
fight until you score, as your husband would say.
Yeah.
It shows to you just how resilient you guys are and how strong you guys are. Literally anything that this world can throw at you, you two can handle. Right?
Yeah.
And as one of our, I messaged to you the other day, one of our guests said that your situation right now is not your situation forever.
It's true.
You will be on the other side of this one day.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's going to be. Right? It's a month, 2 months, 5 months, 5 years. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not your forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you take some comfort in knowing that.
I do.
We'll be on the other side of this one day.
I believe it. I have to.
Yeah. And we will, you have your support team, you know, we will rally behind you and we will keep pushing you forward.
Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone.
And remember, guys, in any project, including the baby project, you must take things one step at a time.
Got a question for us? Or perhaps you would like to share your story and be a guest on our podcast? Feel free to connect with us by emailing us at thebabyproject_@outlook.com or DM us on Instagram @thebabyproject_. Thanks for listening.